Welcome back to Realm Rocks for everyone. Today we interview Curtis Heisey. I'm pretty sure I didn't say his name right. He is the builder of Deuces Wild. He also is very talented in the arts of rock tree photography. One of his favorite sayings in the arts of rock tree photography is, "Even an Estus Alpha looks like a high power rocket if you zoom in enough." And with that, let's get started. Hello everyone, welcome back to Realm Rocketry. Today we have a very special guest. We have Curtis Heisey, who's the builder of Deuces Wild. I actually found him because he had an article in Sport Rocketry. He's actually had multiple articles in Sport Rocketry, and it was about one of his rockets, which is Deuces Wild, and it actually has some really, really cool camera things. So since I wanted for you guys to hear some just interesting things about camera, I brought him on. So thank you so much for coming on, Curtis, today.
Great. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. So let's just start off with a little bit of like Deuces Wild here. So just in case anyone doesn't know, what is Deuces Wild?
So the Deuces Wild is a rocket with canted motors. So that means the rocket, the two motors are pointing away from each other at an angle. So it gives a very distinctive contrail, and it was a kit that was originally introduced by Jim Fliss in 2002, and it's been a very popular kit. And also, it's a very popular model to quote-unquote kind of upscale. That means just make a bigger scale version for high-power rocketry.
So, when did you originally buy the Deuces Wild kit?
So, I did rocketry as a kid, and then I'm a born-again rocketer, so I got back into it maybe 13 years ago when my kids started getting into grade school. And then Jim Fliss, who runs Fliss Kits, he used to run Fliss Kits. He sold the company, but he's based out of New Hampshire, and he'd come to our CMAS club launches in Amesbury, Mass., and he'd bring his Fliss Kits rockets along. So that was a good opportunity to find out the models that he had, and he had one of, as I mentioned, was the Deuces Wild. So that's where I found out about it.
Yeah. So you say here you're not ever going to build a... You say, "I consider myself basically done in terms of the number of rockets in my fleet for Deuces Wild." So, if you, like, lose one of them, are you going to rebuild, or are you pretty much done with building that kind of thing?
Well, probably, yeah, I'll keep, if one of the mid-sized ones gets damaged, I'll certainly rebuild it. And then I found out about another rocket that's pretty interesting, too. So, Estes rockets had a corkscrew back in the 80s, which it had an offset motor axis, and it would go in a big spiral pattern. So, I've actually built a lot of those, and I have a lot of photos and a Sport Rocketry article coming in on that. And then another one that I've... So there's interesting rockets that I've run into that I've kind of built. And so Apogee Newsletter published something called the Green Vortex, and it's kind of a two fin rocket and it flies it with a slow spiral. And so I've been playing with that one too.
Yeah, you heard here first. You got some new leaks on the Sport Rocketry magazine articles. But yeah, I see this on this photo that it looks like your smoke trails are coming out of your motors like outside of your blast deflector. So if you're using skid mark motors or anything like that, that'd probably give you a lot of sparks. So what are you doing to make sure you don't cause fires or something like that, or is it just wet or something like that?
So that's a good observation. Yeah. So with regular motors, I put down the club has, well, first of all, during the regular time of the year at the club launches, we can't do skid marks. But I have done them on frozen Lake Winnipesaukee. And then with the regular Deuces Wild, you're right, the exhaust is at an angle. So I have some fireproof ground cloths that I put down. I have launched skid marks. There's a club in Rhode Island. You can launch them actually on like a road that's between the field. But you're right. You have to be careful about where the exhaust is going to go and make sure there's no dry. Even with regular motors, you don't want like dry grass down there.
That's really interesting. So are you like a professional camera person, or are you begin cameras because of Deuces Wild or some other rocketry project?
So I'm not a professional photographer. I'm a software engineer. So I just enjoy photography. I did it as a kid, did it as a hobby. So I got into photographing rockets, so being able to kind of capture them right after, especially right after they ended, reached the end of the launch rail.
So when did you really start to become, like, serious about the cameras for rocketry stuff?
So, yeah, I was photographing rockets for a couple years, and then I kind of got into high power about 10, 12 years ago, and that's... And I wanted to take kind of better pictures, so I started practicing with the cameras and trying to get better pictures, and then I actually built a system of cameras that you could position around the rocket and trigger with radio frequency links, so you could get kind of pictures from multiple angles.
Yeah, I've seen one of your things in Sport Rocketry. That was a really cool thing, like the one that detects when it lifts off the rail. That's pretty cool. So how hard was it for you to start using cameras in rocketry?
So it wasn't that hard. So the thing that really kind of helps out is if you have a camera that can take continuous shooting. So that means when you hold the shutter down, it will take a burst of photos. So that really helps. So I'll point out, it's easy to get frustrated at first when you're taking rocket photographs, because it's hard to track the rockets, and you get a lot of bad pictures when you're starting out.
Yeah.
But if you stick with it and practice, you know, you'll get better after the over time, and then your eye will get more used to kind of tracking the rockets.
Yeah. When I've done photography, for me, I've kind of cheated because I've done a video camera at the pad, and I had to do a bunch of editing. That was the not fun part.
So that is another way to get good pictures, is to put like a GoPro at kind of the base of the rocket looking up. You can get some really impressive pictures that way too. But also kind of knowing... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, so knowing some of the camera settings can help with rocket photography too. So as I mentioned, there's kind of three or four settings you want to do. So you want to set the continuous shooting as fast as it'll go, and then you want to shut the... You want to pick, like, if your camera allows it, a shutter priority and set the shutter to 2,000 seconds. So that means it'll adjust the light, but keep that shutter speed always. And then I found, usually cameras, when you push them halfway down, they'll autofocus. But with rockets, it's easy for the autofocus to get tricked and focus on the background. So I actually use manual focus. I found that gives a lot better results. So those basic settings... And I set the ISO to be automatic. So those kind of basic settings, the continuous shooting, the manual focus, and the shutter priority, you know, that's gonna help out with you getting a lot of good shots.
And yeah, you actually just answered my next question I was gonna ask you. So I've seen your pad cameras, you have onboard cameras, and you have ground cameras. So which one do you like start with, and which one do you think is the easiest one?
So definitely the video camera at the base of the rocket is probably easiest if you have it. And some DSLR cameras like have a video mode too. Oh, another thing that helps for close-ups of the rocket is probably using a tripod too. That'll help you, especially when you're using video.
Yeah.
That'll get, you know, less jitter and when you're trying to angle, if you're just setting up a video and leaving it at point at the rocket, it'll help. It'll make it a lot easier to position it and things.
Yeah. So, how would you recommend, what kind of stuff would you recommend people get started with in order to use, like, the base cameras?
You mean if you're like picking a camera?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, I'd probably recommend a DSLR camera.
Okay.
And probably a focal length lens, if you can afford it, kind of a zoom, like 70 to 200 zoom is pretty good. And then, so recently there's been a lot of increase in camera capabilities and a lot of new releases, but that also means there's a lot of used camera gear out there. And there's a lot of good buys. There's a lot of good cameras suitable for rocketry that are mm-hmm. used. That's I recommend. Like, there's a company like KEH that has cameras. So definitely, if you're on a budget, look into used gear.
All right. So when you're talking about base cameras, I know you have a really fancy setup, but obviously it probably wouldn't be the most cost-effective and most, like, best way to get started. So, like, what tips would you have for someone just trying to, like, do a base camera on, like, let's just say a tripod and just a camera, this DSLR?
You mean, like, what what brand or model or
No, like just general tips.
So I'd recommend if there's one thing you want to try to get, one feature, it's try to get at least 5 frames a second continuous shooting. That's probably the really key thing. And
Okay.
then, yeah.
And then see what we're getting. So onboard cameras, your onboard shots are amazing. I've loved those pictures I've seen. They're great. I mean, so what, how are you doing that? That's honestly all I'm gonna ask.
So there's a little there's little action cameras like a Runcam or a Mobius, and they're about 1 inch wide by 1.5 inches long, and I 3D printed a little payload that mounts on the side of the rocket. So you just turn the camera on, put it in this little holder, and then it'll go for like 1/2 hour. So if the LSO launches your rocket right away, that's
Yeah.
yeah.
So, have you ever lost a camera that's on board your rocket?
Let's see. Have I ever lost? I don't think I've ever lost a camera that's on a rocket. Yeah, that would be a bummer because the little run cams are about $80. So
Yeah.
yeah, it's something I want to try to get back.
So, how.
Yeah, I guess I lost my thought. So.
Oh. Yeah. So, how exactly. Are you just flying small? Are you just flying low and slow, or what are you doing in order to make sure you're not losing expensive cameras?
So that's a good point. So here in Massachusetts, we don't have a lot of great fields for high power. So mid power rockets are better. So the one nice thing about the Deuce is Wild is that it goes pretty heavy and slow. It only goes to about the high power ones only go to like 600 or 800 feet. So that makes recovery a lot easier.
Yeah, that makes sense. So next one, this one in my opinion, because like what I've done is base cameras. I haven't done onboard yet because I don't have like an action camera or anything. But what I would think would be the hardest is ground cameras that you're moving around and stuff like that. So how what are your general tips and stuff for ground cameras and stuff?
So if you can have multiple cameras with some sort of a trigger, yeah, you can put a camera like 20 feet away and aim it right up at the rocket. So the nice thing about that is you can kind of use like a standard lens, which is a lot cheaper than a telephoto, and then usually one kind of further back, like at the flight line, and you need a telephoto probably for that. And then it's also I find it's easier to track the rocket if you're further back because kind of per unit time it's kind of the angular
Yeah,
change
makes
is
sense.
kind of slower. Yeah.
Yep. So, like, let's see, what camera do you have for your ground camera?
So I have a Sony A77, and actually I have two of those. The Canon cameras are really good too for the action photography.
Okay, so I just gotta ask you one question here, but not really related to this topic, but how many cameras do you own?
Too many.
Yeah, that's kind of like universal answer, I guess. I only own one camera, but I guess if you're really into this, you can own 12 billion cameras. So let's see. I've seen some drone shots. Have you ever actually done drone photography or investigated or anything, or are you just not really?
Yeah, one of my good friends has a drone, so I use his for some drone shots, or sometimes he'll take them for me. So there's a couple issues with the kind of standard camera that comes with a drone aren't really geared toward like action photography, so rocket movement tends to get a little blurred. Plus they often have like a really really wide field of view, so it makes the rocket kind of too small. And it makes it kind of grainy. So people kind of mount, like, you can get like GoPro mounts that go under a drone, and people do that for a little better action shots.
So, let's just say that you're talking to a person who hasn't really done any photography and something for rockets, but they don't really want to spend any money. So let's just say they have the 4K iPhone camera, and they're saying, well, can you use that camera for rockets and actually have pretty decent video?
So that's a good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because iPhone cameras have gotten really, really good in the last few years, and you can actually get really good shots with your iPhone. And usually I do video when I use the iPhone, and you can just, hold the rocket out and hold the iPhone right out in front of you, and just I know, just pan it up as it goes, and there's a slow-mo motion mode on the iPhone. And the iPhone slow-mos are just phenomenal. They're just really stunning. So yeah, so you don't need to buy, if you have the iPhone, man, you're golden. So that's a great way to start out.
Yeah, so how many cameras do you use at a launch? Like, let's say you're launching one of the Deuces Wild rockets.
So it depends on if I have somebody to help me set up staging the rocket. And staging the cameras, going there's kind of a checklist of things for each. It's kind of hard to do both. And then if you're trying to do the launching too, then that's really more than one person can kind of keep track of. So there's a guy I go, he goes to the club launches with me, and I usually kind of get him to help out a little bit.
So, let's see. What exactly do you think would be the number one, like, if you could only say one thing to someone who's trying to start out on camera, what would you say?
For rocket photography, yeah, I definitely say don't get discouraged, because you're gonna get better with time and practice. And as I say, the first shots, I took a number of years ago, rockets, they were all pretty crummy, and it was, every now and then I got a good one, but there was lots of smoke contrails. So keep practicing, and you'll definitely get better.
So, do you set up your cameras like to make the rockets look bigger or that kind of thing, or you just kind of like really end up looking smaller? Like, how do you like do distancing and stuff like that?
So, yeah, I usually try to get the rockets so that when it's going off the pad, there'll be like three kind of rocket lengths in the frame. And then, because if you get too far away, it's going to get grainy when you try to enlarge it. The other thing you can do, you can get some cool shots before the launch when people are setting up. And one thing you can kind of do, like a high power rocket, you can kind of get down at the bottom of the rail and point up at them as they're sliding the rocket onto the rail. And that can give like an impressive, setup shot.
Yeah. So, how else have you used your rocketry camera skills? I'm just curious.
Let's see. So as I mentioned, I got it kind of led into the camera trigger stuff, and I started learning, Arduino and basic electronics and soldering. So it kind of, it was a good way to kind of branch out into kind of other technical things.
Well, I guess now it's time to scare away everyone who doesn't want to work out all the stuff with camera triggers, so let's just talk about it. So, can you talk a little bit about your camera triggers?
Okay, so there was a guy at the Seamass Club who made a camera trigger. It had a photo cell, or it had a photodiode, and you put it on the fin, and it would go to this box that would control the camera. It was actually a commercial trigger unit called a camera axe. So I found it really, really hard. I bought one of those, and I found it really, really hard to kind of position the jig on the fin. It kept wobbling or falling. Or so I thought, well, there must be kind of other sensors that one could use. So and the other thing that was hard was that there was kind of wires going everywhere. There was wires going over to the, and then so. He mentioned in he actually wrote a sport rocketry article about his system, but he mentioned, gee, I'd love to have like a radio frequency link between them. So that was kind of the first feature I put in one of my prototypes, was these units could kind of talk to each other over a wireless link. So that got rid of the wires. And then I made it so you can put different kinds of sensors on to trigger the detect the liftoff. And I actually found a sound sensor from SparkFun that works really well, because you can just point it kind of in the general direction of the rocket, and the threshold won't pick up background noise, but it triggers on the rocket right when it lights. So and then, with two of these, I can have the sensor and a close-up camera, and then have another camera further back, and they'll both kind of automatically take shots as the rocket goes off.
So, like, what's the wiring from the sensor seeing that there is liftoff and the camera taking a photo? So, like, what's the wiring between that, or, like, the wireless?
Well, so I use... Well, first of all, cameras have a... Most DSLRs have, like, a remote camera connection on them, and there's kind of a standard for the plug for that. And then I used for the radio piece, I used an Adafruit, has a little computer module that has a LoRa radio built onto it, and that's kind of a standard emitter that goes over a long distance. So each one of these modes has a one of these LoRa radio computer modules in it, and then I program that with the rest of the software.
So that's an interesting thing that you're using LoRa radio, because what I've heard at least is LoRa radio doesn't really have that much like amount of data you can send through it. So like, are you just not sending very much data or something like that?
Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm not sending the video or the still pictures over the link. I'm just sending like a trigger signal. So that's just a couple, that's like a byte in a packet. So, there's a certain code that says, okay, fire the camera. So you're right. LoRa radio is a low bandwidth link, but you don't need to send much data just to trigger a camera.
Thank you for listening to the Realm Rockery Podcast. If you enjoyed this content, then please go tell somebody about it. It's the number one thing you can do to help grow our show. And if you would like to ask us a question, go to the contact section of our website, link in the description. But for now, remember, what could go right? Safety third! Bye, everyone, and we'll see you next time.